Very often a conversation I have with people is about this quest for perfection, really getting it right, and it feels like just slightly out of grasp. This comes up in coaching conversations, in conversations socially, around the After Dinner Leadership Table. This episode of the After Dinner Leadership Podcast is really going to be talking about that, this quest for perfection, and this phrase, it mostly works. For those watching, you can see that on the whiteboard behind me. Maybe you thought IT mostly works, but it actually means it mostly works. Where did this come from? I was having a conversation with someone. They were trying to work out their time management system, and they spoke about their calendar as being something that was really effective for them. And they said it mostly works, which was in contrast to many other systems that they had used or tried to use. They were looking for this perfect system. And they realized actually that a system that mostly worked. And that phrase seemed to resonate with them. It's certainly stuck in my mind since as well. Is how do we find things that mostly work rather than being absolutely perfect? We search for the perfect system, the perfect process. And in the process, it can actually be counterproductive, leading to guilt or shame or inaction. So I want to speak about a conversation I had with one of our guests on episode 30. I want to share some coaching questions that I think could be helpful for anyone that's facing up to the threat of perfectionism. And then also a little process that could be used with at least two other people to help you in decision-making efficiency, I guess, so we don't get hung up on getting the absolute perfect decision. Back at episode 30, I interviewed a friend of mine called Chris Wayne Wills, who's the CEO of Crea Hotels up in Scotland. And he has an infinite purpose to relentlessly pursue creating the perfect hotel company. But what does that mean? As we explored this, and we're going to listen to a clip about from his conversation, our conversation, in a few minutes. But as we explored this, I realized that actually he had this sense of reality about what that was. So he had this vision, this goal that he's aiming for, but also realized it was a pursuit of excellence, probably not perfectionism. And he used a mountain analogy of having a base camp, and he had some leadership lessons that he'd learned around the importance of bringing the team with you. Then he talked about the summit. So it's a nice kind of mountaineering point. And he talked about the summit being a focus that you would have had as a younger leader. Right, let's charge to the goal. First up, let's go. But actually, one of the reflections he's had as a more seasoned leader is the importance of probably being the last one to leave the base camp. Anyway, he can talk about that. You can listen to him. But I love this idea of excellence not having a finish line. And I think that could be a useful perspective, because one of the challenges we can have if we don't focus on perfectionism is we can sit at mediocrity. That's not what I'm promoting or encouraging, is mediocrity with it mostly works. It's actually, are we wasting time and energy trying to get it perfectly right on something that actually doesn't need to be perfectly right? If it mostly works, it's good enough. And it will help us to achieve the goals that we're aiming for. And we can then put our energy and time into maybe some of those things that do need to be really absolutely right. Anyway, let's listen to Chris talk about his experience. What's the lesson at the summit?
I think the point about the summit is a little bit I touched on earlier on. Actually, arguably, the summit isn't the summit. It's the journey. It's the process. It's the sort of process of the goal as opposed to the outcome of the goal. And the point about the summit is sometimes with what I'm trying to achieve with the business or other businesses I've been involved in, sometimes I think if you're back to being this team at base camp and you point at the summit, and maybe you can see a snow-capped top mountain pointing up through the clouds, if you tell the team that's where you're going, I actually think sometimes that could scare people. But I think what I do as a leader is not necessarily talk about the summit, but I talk about the path. Yeah. And I make sure that they just keep putting one foot in front of the other and we keep progressing. And that comes back down to the point about you don't lead from front. I think it's a Chinese proverb about you lead, you walk behind people if you want to lead them. So that's my kind of leading from the front point. When I was younger, I think it was like, right, that's me. I'm out. I'm setting the pace. I'm going, you've all got to keep up with me or you fail. Whereas now I think I would leave base camp last. I would walk behind people. I would talk about the path and I would keep the people in front of me in terms of vision. So I could say to them, left a bit, right a bit, go a little bit quicker, just slow down a little bit. But I'll keep you on the path. And if we all stick together on that path, keep putting one foot in front of the other, maintaining consistency, we will get to the summit. But we don't think about the summit. We just think about the path.
Okay. Having listened to Chris, there's some great wisdom there, I think. I like the metaphor that he's used, this mountaineering metaphor. And I encourage you to listen to the whole episode so you can hear more detail about how he has brought that to life in the hotels that he runs. And I love his emphasis on the importance of the people and the individuals in the hotel, not just the furnishings and the shampoos or the toiletries, but actually the quality of the individuals that you meet, making the real difference in the experience as a guest. Okay, I said the second thing that we were going to look at was some coaching questions. I've got three coaching questions. And in preparation for that, perhaps you can think about a situation that you're facing right now, where perhaps perfectionism is drifting into your decision-making process. I find these three questions to be really useful. There are many others, by the way, but these mostly work. First question, what would be the impact of reducing by 10% the standards you set yourself? I'll say that again. What would be the impact of reducing by 10% the standards you set yourself? Write the answer down, press pause, give that some time to think and to percolate. Question number two, what might you be assuming that is stopping you from taking action? A little emphasis from Nancy Klein there, but I'll say it again, and then you might want to press pause, write down the answer to this question. What might you be assuming that is stopping you from taking action? And question number three, imagine you're at the end of your life looking back on what you've achieved. Create that image. What did you learn from the things that you did not do perfectly? There's a question. In fact, you could even play that out over the course of a week or a month. Look back over the last month, the things that you've achieved. What did you learn from the things that you did not do perfectly? There you go. Three coaching questions that might help you in your pursuit of excellence, but avoiding perfectionism. They mostly work. All right, the third area, a little process for you. This is a facilitation device that I use and really enjoy using with groups. You could use it with two other colleagues at least, okay? But you could do it on a larger scale if you wish, but just two more people. So getting the two different brains in the room. And this is a concise form of decision making. When you're racked with a challenging decision in front of you, it could easily take you hours to work out the pros and cons and the various options. This methodology is a great way to quickly be able to share what the core challenges are and to get other people's perspectives about what they might do facing the same problem. What advice would they give? And it's ring-fenced in a lovely 10-minute framework that could be really helpful. So it's a very quick way of getting some other perspectives on your challenge, on your issue, or even an opportunity. And it mostly works. So the scenario is this. You sit down, preferably if you're face-to-face, if you're with the in-person, sorry, you sit facing each other, so all three people facing each other. And you nominate the person who's got the challenge. Let's say it's you. So you're taking it to these two people to get their insight and their advice. And you have a stopwatch on your phone, for instance. And you put a timer for 4 minutes, first of all. And in that 4 minutes, the person in the thinking seat, their job is to share what the challenge is, maybe some things that they've already tried. And the other two people, the only questions they can ask are clarifying questions so they can explore what have you done already, what's worked before. Tell me a little bit more about that relationship. and why you think it's not working. So they're really digging down and trying to understand it, because their job in a minute is about to give advice to the person in the thinking seat. So they're really trying to understand. No solutions at this time. They're not giving any advice at this stage. The only questions they're asking are to make sure that they understand and they get real clarity around what's going on for the person in the thinking seat. We then have 1 minute of beautiful silence. No one speaks. In that 1 minute, the person in the thinking seat, having spoken out loud, may write down some of the thoughts they have for how they could solve the problem. The two people that are sitting with them are writing down their advice. So you've got this 1 minute, they're not talking, just writing. Beautiful silence. After that minute, we then have another 4 minutes where the two people are able to give their advice to the person in the thinking seat. Now, one nice little touch that can work really well is the person in the thinking seat turns their chair around and puts their back to the other two people in the triad. It feels weird in the first instance, but it's a really powerful way to take out the body language and actually for the two people who are giving advice just to talk to each other behind the person's back about how they would solve it. And it is a really nice way to get some really good conversation going. If you do this online, so on Teams, you can just turn the person's camera off and the two people who are in the advice seats will just talk to each other with the other person off the camera. After that 4 minutes, again, you'd need to set a timer. And after that 4 minutes, there's again one more minute where the person in the thinking seat shares a key summary of the way forward. It is not a summary of everything that has been said. In fact, they don't have to take any advice from the two people that have been talking. Inevitably, they will want to, but they don't have to. They can just say, right, now I've done that. This is my next step. This is the way forward. Thank you for your insight. Now, this is what I'm going to do. I've done this dozens of times, and the scenarios that people bring can be quite complex. And things that would normally maybe take half an hour, 45 minutes to talk through and to problem solve and the likes. But doing it in this very concentrated way, you get the cream of people's thinking and some really great suggestions and ideas to take it forward. Great advice. And guess what? It's not perfect, but it mostly works. So there you have it. Just some thoughts. Listen to episode 30. Listen to Chris Wayne Will's approach to leadership, some of the lessons that he's learned, and the importance of looking for excellence rather than perfectionism. Second, apply those coaching questions that we've gone through. And then lastly, if you're in a situation where you can pull on some helpful resource from some colleagues, ask them to sit for that 10 minutes. And as an added bonus, you can actually rotate around the three of you, take about 40, 45 minutes. Everyone has a go being in the thinking seat, and everyone comes away with some really excellent ideas to help them with the problem that they're facing. These are some things that could help you. They mostly work. Thanks for listening. If you feel this could be useful for someone else to get the most from it, then please share it. I'm not promising it's perfect, but I am suggesting it mostly works.